Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Rick Barbary, who is Group Vice President of Payment Products at Digital River. Rick, thanks for joining me today.
It's great to be here today. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So let's get started and talk a little bit about the trends that are driving payments, and in particular payments around the world. And certainly one of those trends is mobile. That is the big driver of payments generally, and certainly in a cross-border environment. But my question is really about deciding on which path to take. There are so many now competing payment types in the market. Obviously, we have Apple Pay. We heard not long ago about Samsung and their efforts. Now we have Google and their efforts. There's certainly Alipay. Lots and lots of choices in the market. How are you advising merchants to place their bets, and why?
Great question. So long story short, bets are tough, no question about it. But if we're going to go down that path, we really kind of believe that the best bet that you can make is going to be on the consumer. Consumer choice is absolutely going to win in this space. We see that consumers continue to gravitate towards payment methods that are convenient, that are secure, and that add value to their commerce experience. No question, the consumer is going to continue to influence where mobile payments are going to go. It's really interesting, too, right now. I think we're seeing a real tipping point that's happening in the industry, not just in the U.S., but also in the rest of the world. Think about this, right? Mobile devices, they're just continuing to grow penetration and adoption. To the extent that even Forrester will cite research indicating mobile commerce has surpassed desktop commerce as of last year for retail traffic. I mean, that's a real tipping point. Mobile wallets, you know, as you just mentioned, are absolutely growing popularity. I would say that, you know, daily, every day, we're opening up emails. There are new developments happening. We're reading about how consumer adoption is continuing to evolve. We're reading about the new technology that's making it easier for consumers to adopt. Mobile wallets are just continuing to grow like crazy in popularity. Technology is advancing, making it much, much easier for consumers to adopt mobile payment capability. We see that every day. Finally, even here, like in the U.S., I think there's an interesting trend that's really, in my opinion, kind of a tipping point that's happening. We get a widespread swap of all of our current POS technology to this new EMV wallet-capable technology. It's really going to make it easier for consumers to use their mobile capabilities. The adoption is just going to continue to grow. Now that we're seeing in the retail space this impetus to change the technology, I think those four key points are critical. And it's really going to help make sure that all this stuff is actually becoming adopted. So I don't know. It's really an exciting time. I would say it's still kind of an emerging time for mobile payments. I think we're kind of at the threshold here.
I would agree we're at the threshold. I mean, someone has said we're in the first inning of the first game of the World Series, which implies a pretty long journey and a while before the consumer choice, I think, becomes clear. Because consumers have to process all this too. It comes down to, in many cases, the devices they've chosen, the capabilities of the wallet applications that they have on those devices, and then, of course, what the merchants have and can enable. Let me ask you a specific question there related to something that you said. You talked about, you know, the explosion and diffusion of mobile devices and that surpassing desktop search. And that's in many cases because that is the primary access device to the internet. Thinking about the BRIC countries, so Brazil, Russia, India, and China, that is certainly a very attractive basket of consumers for merchants looking to create incremental value for themselves. What's the consumer choice, consumer preference with respect to payments in those areas? And how does a merchant respond to that choice and capture that consumer momentum?
Got it. Yeah. You know, the BRIC countries are fantastic. They are emerging. I think you're absolutely right. Speaking from an infrastructure perspective, mobile technology is, you know, absolutely positioned to leapfrog any sort of land-based technology. The infrastructure is just supporting mobile technology much more so than, you know, pipes to your house. So I think it is very, very ripe for that. And, you know, from that perspective, I think it's also important to kind of recognize that BRIC market is really, you know, truly just that. You're talking about four different countries, all of which are going to exhibit different capabilities. So when we're talking about payment methods, you know, I think when you talk about Brazil, cards, installments, boletos, Russia, Kiwi Yandex, cards, wallets. India, you know, interesting, cash on delivery is a really dominant player there. Debit, but not so much credit. In China, we can talk more about China as well. Alipay and UnionPay, I think, are emerging as the primary payment methods in those spaces.
So how does a merchant that is trying to, you know, basically enable the acceptance of, you know, the basic methods of payment that are consistent around the world and then adapt the preferences of these local markets and something for Brazil, something for Russia, something for India, something for China, how does that all happen for merchants? It seems like it might be a pretty complicated thing for them to sort out.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a lot of complexity in these emerging markets. How I tend to think about it is really kind of in two primary categories. One is your payment process, your payment methods, and two is your commerce business model. And I think we can explore both. I'll just hit them real quickly. But, you know, as we talked before, you know, successful commerce is going to get conducted by the payment method of choice. So, again, we can buzz back through this, but the payment method of choice, while still emerging in these markets, you're starting to see more and more dominant players. And, again, they're different by market. So if you are a merchant emerging into these various markets, I think you need to be prepared to understand that market, understand consumer choice in those markets, and ensure that you've got payment methods to support that. At the end of the day, commerce is not commerce unless you can close the loop with your payment transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, A, that's critical. Now let's talk a little bit about the business model, too. I think, you know, from a merchant perspective, local is critical. And what we mean by that is really kind of the concept of local site, local language, local payment methods. All of that from a commerce experience perspective, but close the loop from the entire consumer experience. You have to have the ability to manage returns. You have to have the ability to manage customer support. You have to provide the consumer with an end-to-end commerce experience, not just a payment experience, but a commerce experience that really meets their needs.
I would agree with that. So let's talk about how that influences the direction and the trends that will drive payments over the next couple of years, because I agree with you that payments will become very much a part of the broader commerce experience, but that suggests a lot of other things that will create momentum around that commerce experience that will move payments forward. What's your view on that?
So the crystal ball, right?
One, exactly.
The crystal ball.
You have one. I just know.
I do. It looks a lot like that magic eight ball.
That's the same one I use.
Oh, yeah, excellent. So we're on the same page then. You'll probably be very, very aligned here. You know, I think there's a handful of trends that we're going to probably see. We talked just briefly about some of them. Virtual wallets. You know, virtual wallets have been around, but they haven't been mainstream. You've seen them in the gaming space. You've seen them in the occasional online space. You've seen virtual wallets kind of come and go, try to get traction and just not get it. I think that time is changing. Virtual wallets are absolutely here to stay. And in my opinion, you're going to see them go mainstream. Again, just talk about some of the technology we talked about earlier. It's going to support that virtual wallet. What about the Internet of Things, right? Any conversation would be remiss without an Internet of Things discussion. Things are going to pay. Right now, things communicate. Things are going to migrate towards paying. So we think about this not so much as kind of the Internet of Things and how things talk to one another and communicate with one another, but how they actually begin to become the commerce of things. And this is the ability for these things to communicate and actually now conduct commerce, transact. Wallets, I'll give you just two more. Wallets are cool, but at the end of the day, what I think is really going to start to tip this thing is payment methods that add value. And that's what I think you're going to see in the wallet. You're going to see coupons. You're going to see transactions that are unique to individual commerce experience. It's just the function of accepting cards or accepting a payment method from your wallet. In my opinion, it's not going to be enough to really fully get the consumer to adopt. And guess what? At the end of the day, consumer choice. You're going to see consumers migrating to these wallets of their choice. And it's going to vary. It's going to vary by region. It's going to ebb and flow here in the States. We've already seen that, and I think we're going to continue to see that as a primary trend.
You know what's interesting, if you think back to how payments has evolved, initially acceptance was a real differentiator. And if merchants didn't accept cards, consumers really found that to be unusual and then demanded that they do. And once everyone accepted cards, then it became something else that really drove preference and usage and adoption. It's almost what I hear you saying, it's very similar, because a lot of these cross-border requirements are initially acceptance. You know, you have to accept as a merchant the method of payment that consumers want to use at that particular merchant. But then it has to be about more than just that, because at some point, merchants who want to attract consumers will figure out how to accept that particular method of payment also. So I think it's, you know, it's not necessarily history repeating itself, but I think it's instructive to see how things may evolve going forward and how critical it is, to your point, that the future be about more than just enabling payment.
I couldn't agree more. And I agree with you. I think history is a fair predictor of where we're going to go. Remember the days when PayPal was considered to be kind of a alternative, obscure payment method? You know, that no longer, right? You're seeing that again in the wallet space that started to emerge in maybe even just the gaming space. Guess what? That's going mainstream now.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's interesting. You mentioned something about Internet of Things and commerce of things, and it reminded me of conversations I've had recently about tokenization and how tokenization may, in fact, help to propel the commerce of things, the Internet of Things, because it enables the distribution of secure identity, not necessarily just secure card credentials. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I actually couldn't agree more. And, you know, tokenization is an interesting conversation. It's been around for a while, right? This is not a new concept, not a new technology. There's nothing that's radically new about this. However, what I find is really interesting is it's becoming much more forefront to the consumer experience. You know, Joe Consumer is actually talking about tokenization. You know, they understand it. 4 or 5 years ago, it was never discussed. And I think that the reason that's so critical is, again, we go back to what makes a consumer comfortable. That's what's going to drive payment methods. And now the fact that consumers are actually acknowledging, talking about, recognizing, understanding what tokenization is all about, and now making that part of not just their buying decisions, but their decisions around what payment types they're going to use. I think that we're finding tokenization as you know, an interesting technology now becoming a really dominant force in how consumers are choosing to pay, whether that be on their phone or whether that be on the commerce of things that they've got scattered around their house and integrated with every mobile, wearable, drivable piece of technology they've got.
Well, thanks for reminding us that tokenization isn't new. I mean, it's hard to believe that just based on the prominence that tokenization is getting these days. But you're right. I mean, it has been around for a while. But there are new things now about tokenization, especially as it's been developed by the networks and embedded in Apple Pay and obviously other schemes. What about tokenization today is new?
So I think we're seeing tokenization probably getting pulled out to, again, put into the consumer's hands. So tokenization has been around forever from a PCI compliance perspective, in the back offices, the hardcore technologies, the concept of separating data elements from one another so they can't be connected together, been there forever, right? So what's new is that now you've taken that concept, you've A, made it mainstream, B, you've put it in the hands of the consumer, and C, you've explained it to consumers. So while the technology, I agree with you, the technology continues to evolve, and tomorrow we're going to have a way new cool tokenization solution that we hadn't heard about, 3 days ago. But at the end of the day, it all evolves towards making sure that usable transaction device, whether that be in your hand, whether that be in your car, whatever, is in fact tokenized. The consumer knows that and has the comfort level around it.
Well, I think it's funny that tokenization has become sort of cocktail party chatter. Who would have thought? Listen, Rick, it was really great to get your perspective on the future of payments and the importance of a number of the trends that you spoke to, in particular consumer choice in driving how payments cross-border gets done and merchants benefit. Thanks very much again for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me. Great conversation.
Thank you.